head over to Asia and wrap things up.
Asia.
So we had a first round of qualifying in the last window, which was absolutely thrilling, up at all hours of the night, morning, whatever you want to call it, watching these Asian qualifiers. Always a good time. Coming out. Yeah.
Hang on. Before we go to Asia, we did forget to mention something very interesting. So there's at least 9 different World Cup qualifiers that are going to be played in Morocco.
Oh, yes.
CAF. So Ethiopia, Burkina Faso, Guinea, Niger, Chad, Somalia, and Sao Tome. They don't have any approved stadiums, so they have to find a different venue to play, and those are all they're all going to be playing in Morocco. So just wanted to make sure we squeaked that in before we moved to Asia. Yes, because absolutely. That was fascinating to me.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that you can't see all of these teams playing with their fans at home in their home country, but
yeah,
Morocco, a gracious host.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, to Asia.
To Asia. All right, so round two, we're down to 36 teams in Asia. We have 9 groups of 4 teams. The top 2 finishers in each group will advance to round 3. So half of the 36 will move on. Half of the 36 will be eliminated. This is a much quicker qualifying round. So whereas the African qualifying, that's it, right? That's the whole qualifying. It's starting in November 23. It's going to run all the way through 2025. In Asia, we're going to have 6 match days starting this month. We'll have 2 in March as well. We'll have 2 in June, and this round will conclude in June. So the groups that we have, Group A, Qatar, India, Kuwait, Afghanistan. I guess we'll run through kind of similar to how we did Africa as well. So Qatar, India, Kuwait, Afghanistan. Which 2 are you looking at to move on out of this group?
I would probably say Qatar and Kuwait. And I think we have to pause and talk about what's going on in Afghanistan for a second, because it's absolute chaos. Many of you may not have been following, but the national team, at least a significant chunk of them, I think it's somewhere around 15 different players, are literally boycotting these qualifiers this month because they're sick and tired of their federation doing things in their mind, and I guess I should say allegedly, with the funds that they get from FIFA. Those funds apparently are not going to the players and not going to the places where they should be going, but are instead allegedly lining the pockets of the federation. And so there's been articles from the BBC written on this in the last couple weeks, and players are making a stand. There's been a lot of vocal output across social media. Afghanistan just brought in a new coach. They had, as many of you may recall, if you listened to our last show, so the last coach for Afghanistan tried to forfeit the match, to throw the match in the first qualifying round for Afghanistan. And he was literally fired right before the game kicked off on the second leg. And yeah, it's really crazy. So Afghanistan has brought in Ashley Westwood. He has a little bit of history in the Asian game. come to find out, there's actually 2 Ashley Westwoods. One was like a former England player, I think, or maybe they, anyways, it's a little confusing, but it's not him. And anyways, so they literally
confused with Lee Westwood, the golfer.
Yeah, exactly. So they brought in Westwood earlier this week. He is aware of the situation on both sides, and there's a lot of hope that he might help the players push out the president of the federation. So this is really a story that has yet to unfold. It looks like Afghanistan's going to play these games against Qatar, and I can't remember who the other one's against, but it's going to be a squad that is severely weakened because all their European-based players and all their foreign-based players are not going to be there. I guess I shouldn't say all, but a large majority of them. So this is kind of a developing story, but I think our listeners will value the context.
Yeah, it is. It's been interesting to see how many different possible things that could emerge have emerged with Afghanistan. So with only 6 matches in this round and 2 being played this window, 1 at Qatar, they're playing Kuwait as well. It could be over, just as soon as it begins, really, for Afghanistan,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Do you like Qatar and Kuwait in this group?
I do. Lukewarm on Kuwait. I strongly like Qatar. I mean, to me, Qatar is clearly the best team. I think India is in play for sure. I think Kuwait is better, deserves to be, expectedly to advance. But I think India actually could be a bit of a surprise. I love watching the India games because the home atmosphere is phenomenal for those India games. And they're a team that substantial population with very, very minimal results in international football. Mm-hmm. And clearly the fans, the people, they want it. It's not like they don't have rabid support. They do. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how they do. They could definitely overtake Kuwait and advance. I think they're a better team. In the past, I think they've been one of the weaker teams in Asia, certainly towards the bottom. I don't think that's the case anymore. I think they're a solid team that could surprise some people.
All right.
So Group B. Group B is Japan, Syria, North Korea, and Myanmar. Japan is going to advance. No reason to consider anything otherwise. Syria, North Korea, Myanmar. Who do you like out of those 3 teams to join Japan in advancing?
I think it has to be Syria. And I actually don't think it's going to be close.
Wow.
We don't really know a lot about North Korea. So that's kind of an unknown. Don't really know what their squad looks like.
Yeah.
I'm not too high on Myanmar, even though they did well to get here. I just don't see them having the quality to get to the next round. So yeah, Japan and Syria it is for me.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with my computer numbers and disagree.
All right. That's fair.
I do think Myanmar is the – they're going to finish bottom in this group. I think it's going to be Syria and North Korea are the 2 teams that we're looking at. The computer model likes North Korea ahead of Syria, which I was a little surprised by. I did not expect that. I thought it would have been a little more favorable on Syria. I think the big thing for North Korea is just haven't played games. Like nobody knows who, that team is going to look like. And so I think a bit of the computer optimism happens to be what they've done historically. Yeah, I mean, practical thinking has to think towards Syria. North Korea hasn't played a game in 4 years, right? Like they nobody knows what's going on with them. They have not played a game in 4 years. But they're like, when they have played, they've been okay. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with them. They're definitely an unknown. And not only are they an unknown, I mean, they're a team that's had success internationally, not in the distant past, right? Like they were at, like they qualified. And you look back at their qualification record from the last two cycles when they were in 2014, 2018, they did participate in the last World Cup qualifying, but they've had good records. Like they've performed well in World Cup qualifying. They, you know, withdrew from the Asian Cup this time. And, you know, as they withdrew from World Cup qualifying, they were at the prior three Asian Cups. So I don't know. I think there is a lot of unknown there, but to me, they're a team that could surprise some people.
All right. We'll have to see.
We will. All right. Group C, South Korea, China, Thailand, Singapore. I'm also going to say that South Korea will advance. again, going out on the limb there. But I think after that, again, it's wide open between the other three teams. Who do you like out of China, Thailand, and Singapore?
This is a really good question. So I don't know. I've been looking at this group and I've been trying to figure out, okay, like what's going on here? China, I think, is on a downhill slide. I actually think Singapore and Thailand are better than China.
Wow.
I don't know if that's how it's going to pan out in the group, but yeah, I'm big on Thailand.
Yeah.
I really am. I think there's a lot of potential there. I just think, you know, they came over, they got a really, what I think is going to be a very valuable friendly with Estonia last month. I think that's some really good competition for them. They also played Georgia. They kind of got stomped in that one. But I think these are all things that are good, of good value. Singapore is also interesting to me. Mm-hmm. You know, they do have some good things going on there. And I'll be very, very interested to see what they can do. For me, I think the second spot is going to be between those two teams. I don't, and I'm sure this goes against your odds, but I don't rate China right now. Like, I don't, yeah. I just don't think they're good.
Yeah. I mean, the numbers do like China, but not overwhelmingly. About a 60% chance to advance, but that's not any, you know, any vote of confidence whatsoever.
Yeah.
I agree. I think Thailand's playing well. I would not be surprised to see Thailand qualify ahead of China. But I think it's going to be close. Like this, I think this one is going to come down to the wire in terms of who plays who. Thailand plays China first match day. Immediately, they're playing each other. So, and same with Syria and North Korea too. And same with Kuwait and India. I think that's like the first match day is going to be great in Asia, mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. You have the pot two teams playing the pot three teams on match day one. It's going to be awesome. Like that there, it's going to be a very exciting match day one, because I think you're going to see things shift really quickly.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think for those who are listening, I think for Singapore, a name to watch out for is Ilhan Fandi. He's a young forward, and he's playing in the second division in Belgium, but he is quality. He's a good player, and I think despite only being 21 years old, he's already got 10 caps and 2 goals for Singapore, and I think this is going to be a good opportunity for him to add more to that.
Yeah.
On the flip side, I think there's a player with Thailand, Sufanat Muenta, who plays at Leuven in Belgium. He's getting his first minutes in the last couple weeks, and it's exciting. So those are two names to kind of watch out for in this group. And yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how this pans out. Thailand also is without Niklas Mikkelsen, which is a player that he's a defender. I think he's injured, which is why he wasn't called in, which is really unfortunate because he's playing his football in Denmark for Odense. And he struggled for playing time, but I think he's also picked up a knock. And when he can get back in the side, I think that's going to really strengthen Thailand going forward too.
All right. Let's shift down to Group D. So probably the weakest group, I would say, of the nine.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going out on a limb too far. Oman, Kyrgyzstan, Malaysia, Chinese Taipei. I don't know that any of these four teams are really overwhelmingly exciting for me. I think you have to expect that Oman tops the group. I don't think that's any huge vote of confidence for Oman, but I feel like it's going to be Oman and maybe Malaysia. Malaysia is a team that we've talked about a bit. I think this is a good spot. They got a good draw, I would say. And it looks like one of the pot three teams that could upset. Malaysia to me looks like a team that is in a favorable spot. Is that what you're expecting as well?
Yeah, so I think Oman is definitely going to be one of the top two. And I do like Malaysia a lot in this group. Kyrgyzstan actually is kind of interesting and a little exciting. They do have some younger players that are playing at some big clubs like Galatasaray. They've got some at who are playing in Russia. No shock there. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of bring it together. But yeah, I would say Malaysia would be the other team I would probably take out of this group. And Kyrgyzstan might offer a surprise, but Malaysia is that is actually an incredibly soccer mad country.
Yeah.
they're fun ones to watch for sure. And with Malaysia, two players definitely you want to keep an eye on. I'm just looking down through here. So Noah Lane, he's definitely one. He plays his club ball in Finland. He's one of like, I think maybe two or three different players for Malaysia that play outside of the country. But then also Faisal Halim, that's a name that I think that a lot of people are gonna want to look out for. He's played 27 matches for Malaysia, and he's already scored 13 goals. In 27 matches. So that's not too bad. That's roughly a goal every two games. So
he is a goal scorer.
He is a goal scorer. So yeah, and for a team like Malaysia, right? Like that's pretty decent output. So
fun fact, he's known as Mickey.
Mickey. There you go. Arif Amin, I think, is another one that a lot of people are talking about. So yeah, I mean Malaysia, it's, you know, they're going to be fun to watch, I think. So I will be tuning into their games for sure.
Hopefully we get some good broadcasts.
Hopefully.
All right. Group E, not a good draw for our friends at Hong Kong.
No.
And not a good draw for Turkmenistan either.
No.
Iran and Uzbekistan are in the same group.
Yeah.
You don't want to be the third or fourth team in this group, unfortunately. Any chance that Iran or Uzbekistan slip up and get passed by Turkmenistan or Hong Kong?
I really don't think so. I can't see that happening. So.
Yeah. This looks like one of those, I think more than any other group with a clear top two here. I just, you know, Uzbekistan is a team that they've been like right on the brink so many times. And Uzbekistan is a team like, you know, we talked about Curacao, like, give us a call, we'll help you. Like, Uzbekistan is one of those teams because they are lower in the FIFA rankings than their quality warrants.
Mm-hmm.
And based on subsequent qualifying rounds and draws and so forth, like, Uzbekistan, give us a call. Like, you are better than your FIFA ranking indicates. And if they move up a bit, there are three teams in front of them in the rankings, Iraq, UAE, Oman. If they pass them, they could be in a really good position to qualify for the World Cup. And if that does occur, like, we're projecting Uzbekistan qualifies. So it's a tough group for Turkmenistan, for Hong Kong. We're projecting out of this group two teams to qualify for the World Cup. So, and that's just in round two in this one group. So not a great spot. So we'll see. But I think there's a clear top two here.
I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. I think there's a couple names for Uzbekistan that people might want to watch out for. Eldor Shumurodov is one of them. He plays at Cagliari in Italy. He's definitely one to look out for, I would say, as well. Abdikoder Kusunov, who's playing at Lens in France at the moment. He's a defender. He's one to keep an eye on too. So yeah, I mean, this Uzbekistan side, as you were saying, is not bad, not bad at all. And can really be a tricky side to come up against. So yeah, pretty clear group.
Agreed. All right. Group F. This one's interesting. So Iraq, Vietnam, Philippines, Indonesia. I don't know what to make of this group, honestly. Iraq is a team that has consistently been high in our rankings and has consistently underperformed. And I think the other teams in this group are pretty decent, actually. Vietnam, Philippines, and Indonesia, all of them. I think they have all four teams have a chance to progress out of this group. Do you think that's a little too optimistic? Do you think anybody is clearly, you know, towards the bottom of the group?
No, I don't. I think that's a fair assessment. And yeah, this is definitely a fascinating group. So Vietnam did pretty well last cycle. I feel like they're kind of on a downward trend, though. I actually do quite like Iraq to finish first in this group. And then I'm actually going to go with Indonesia.
Nice.
That's my prediction. And unfortunately, I'm going to put Vietnam in third and the Philippines in fourth. The Philippines is tricky. They struggle a lot with getting players to A, commit, and B, come play.
Yeah.
And One such example is Sebastian Rasmussen, and we've talked about him a little bit before. He plays at Hobro in Denmark, and he begged to not be called in this window based on reports that I saw, because he's not starting for his club and he's trying to strengthen his position there before he, I guess, kind of recommits to playing for the Philippines. Yeah. So, you know, and there's a few other examples like that as well. Like Rafael Obermeier is another one. They went through leaps and bounds to try to get him a passport and get him registered and all that. He plays for Paderborn in Germany. And then poof, like he isn't getting called in. It's just really strange.
Yeah.
So I think there's some issues for the Philippines there that's going to prevent them from really challenging in this group, which is a shame because they do have, I mean, Rasmussen has been compared to Holland in some regard as the Filipino Holland.
Yes.
You know, and so I would have loved to have seen him, and maybe we still will. I hope we get the chance to see him, but I just think they don't have the squad right off the bat this month to really make an impression. Maybe they'll prove me wrong. I think Indonesia does. I think Iraq does. Vietnam for me is kind of the unknown in this group, actually, because I feel like they're on a downward trend and I just don't know where they sit at the moment.
Yeah.
Indonesia have called in a couple different players that I really like, actually. One of them plays at Viking in Norway, Shane Patinama. I think we mentioned him on the last show, but also Sandy Walsh. He's playing at Mechelen in Belgium. And then Rafael Struijk is playing at ADO Den Haag in Netherlands with Jort, with our Bonaerian friend.
Yes.
So
of course the Bonaire Indonesia connection.
That's right.
Of course.
More like the Dutch Indonesian connection, but still.
You see it every day.
It's so obvious. But Marcelino Ferdinand is another one for Indonesia. He's not in the squad this month. I'm actually not sure why he wasn't called up, but he's playing at Dienza in the second division in Belgium. And then Ivar Jenner is playing at FC Utrecht in the Netherlands. So, I mean, Indonesia actually has a pretty decent squad, I think. And that's why I'm kind of liking them at the moment. I just don't know where to put Vietnam in this group. That's the unknown for me. So,
yeah. because of your impressive Indonesian knowledge, I am now rooting for Indonesia.
Well done.
I am sold. I think Iraq is good enough to advance out of this group and not finish outside of the top two. The numbers actually agree with your assessment for the most part, in that pretty strongly favor Philippines to actually finish bottom of this group, which is interesting. And really almost a toss up between Vietnam and Indonesia. But yeah, I think you look at Vietnam and I'm not overly encouraged by them. I think Indonesia could definitely make some noise there. It'll be interesting. I'm curious to see and follow Indonesia. This is one of the most exciting groups for me. I think this is a group that is wide open, and really looking forward to these games. And especially you look across the board at the teams coming out of pot four, and nobody has as good a chance to advance as Indonesia, in my opinion. They're a solid team. They probably didn't belong in pot four either. And I think they're going to be a team to watch that could advance and is a legitimately decent team. Like, they're probably a top 20 team in Asia, I would say. And so, yeah, I don't see any reason why they shouldn't at least have the chance to finish in that top two.
Yeah. Yeah. We've spent a little bit of time on this group, but I'm going to go a little further with Iraq. So, I mean, they've got some players, several players playing in Sweden. There's a strong Sweden-Iraqi, like, connection. Like, there's a lot of Iraqi people in Sweden, like, refugees, or I don't know, but...
Dalkurd.
Dalkurd, exactly, right? Like, strong Iraqi background and connections there. But you've also got... You got a player at AFC Wimbledon, right? You've got a player at Sandefjord, Rouen in France, Vizela, Portugal, right? Brommapojkarna, that's Sweden, right? So Slovacko, right, in the Czech Republic, right? And Mirchis Doski, that's the player who plays at Slovacko, is actually having a pretty good season. And he's young too, he's only 23. So, you know, I think Iraq has a foundation that they're really going to start building on, and I'll be very interested to see how this all pans out.
I'll go a step further. I think Iraq's going to qualify for the World Cup.
Oh wow. So,
if they
can get Zidane Iqbal, who plays for FC Utrecht, to be a regular appearance, like to be a regular starter, that's what I'm trying to say, for them, I think I agree with you. He's pretty quality. He's only 20, and they seem to struggle to get him called up. He might be injured right now.
Iraq is one of those teams. There are a few in that bunch that just the expansion of AFC qualifying teams, like Iraq is not better than Japan, Iran, Korea, or Australia, and probably not Saudi Arabia either. Maybe, but probably not. Mm-hmm. And so had AFC not expanded, you know, I don't think they really would have challenged. But once you get past that top four or five and you know how many spots Asia is getting, no reason Iraq can't qualify, frankly.
Yeah.
And they're a talented team. And, you know, I think it'll come down to will they do enough and not fall short of expectations. And definitely a team you have to look at and say that they're good enough to qualify.
Right.
All right. Three groups to go. So group G is almost there. Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Tajikistan, Pakistan. This group is really interesting for me.
Agreed.
Not only because I'm super excited for Pakistan and them getting to the stage, despite the fact that I think they are going to perform really poorly in this group. I think there's a chance that Saudi Arabia does not finish in the top two.
What?
And it's not a super high chance, probably less than 10%. But I'm not saying that about any of the other top hot teams. And really all that comes down to is just Jordan and Tajikistan are good teams. And I think this group is going to be a battle. I think Pakistan's going to easily finish at the bottom of this group. And I think the other three teams are really going to have great games against each other.
Interesting. Yeah. You're probably right. but there's a lot going on around Pakistan. They have a good coach, and I think he's going to have them really prepared for these games. He's extremely disciplined, and you're already starting to see that in the squad. You're also starting to see the squad come together outside of like games and training and do like, you know, like bond. That's what I'm trying to say. But I think you're probably right that they'll probably finish bottom of this group. Tajikistan is a team that I think is just so curious. I put out a tweet a couple weeks ago because I was looking them up, and like I was like caught off guard, like, whoa. Like, you know, they have some players that are playing at Shakhtar Donetsk, right? And a couple other different clubs. And I was like, I had no idea.
Yeah. It's Asia is interesting because they use Asian Cup qualifying and World Cup qualifying. It's the same thing, right? Like they look at those and they are the same thing. But unlike African Cup of Nations, the Asian Cup's only every 4 years. And not only is the Asian Cup every 4 years, it is right after the year after the World Cup. So you have these big gaps in time in Asia that you just don't have anywhere else in any other confederation. And so when you have a team like Tajikistan and they've qualified for the Asian Cup, which is awesome, they haven't played a lot of games when you look back and just kind of where we are in the calendar. And so they had a, you know, the Asian Cup qualification, most of it was the World Cup 2022 qualification, but they played in, you know, 2019, 2021. You're talking like 2.5 years ago. And so for the teams that don't qualify, or you know, they're just, there's no AFC Nations League. Like there are big gaps in time when a lot of these teams play. And a team like Tajikistan that can be very talented, you just don't realize because you're just not seeing them play on a frequent basis. And I think this is a team that's really going to surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it. Antalyaspor, as I already mentioned, Shakhtar Donetsk, right? Like, got some players playing in Moldova, playing in Russia. I mean, it's
Bulgaria.
just Bulgaria. Yeah, it's just really interesting. It's just really interesting. So, looking forward to this group. I can't see Saudi Arabia not finishing top of this group, but
I don't think it's going to happen either. And it's, again, less than 10% chance that that happens. But Jordan and Tajikistan are tough.
they are.
Anything you about Jordan? I think Jordan's good enough to advance. And I feel like they very well may advance. But I think
No,
they're also a team similarly to Tajikistan, as we're just saying. Like it just feels like they haven't played a lot of games.
Yeah, Jordan, I don't honestly have a good read on at the moment. I haven't seen a squad for them this month. I haven't seen a lot of them recently, so I can't speak a lot to it. So they're kind of unknown for me at this moment in time, but everybody seems to be pretty high on them and thinking that they can do pretty well. So I guess we'll find out.
All right. I will stick with my original statement and say there's a chance Saudi Arabia does not get out of this group, as unlikely as that seems. All right. Let's go down to Group H. UAE, Bahrain, Yemen, Nepal. Who do you like out of this group?
UAE, and then the second place, I don't think it's going to be Nepal, but I've read some comments about Bahrain. People think that they're underestimated, and haven't really seen that for Yemen. So I don't really know between those two. What do you think?
You can add me to the list of people that think Bahrain is underrated. They're a team that, for us, I think that team is very good. And I actually would not be surprised if they finish ahead of the UAE in this group. They're a team that I think similarly, I think in World Cup qualifying the last cycle, they I think just missed out on advancing in Asian qualifying, and then they just went on an absolute tear after they got eliminated. So I think I think they had more to give, and I think they're definitely an under the radar team, not only to advance, but like they're a team that we're going to be saying, are they going to qualify for the World Cup? I think they're that good. But again, a lot of unknown, you know, domestic based team that you see a lot in the Middle East. So I think there's just a lot of unknown about that squad. They're not playing abroad. But I think similar to a Qatar, I think you can see the progress there. And I think we're going to see some good efforts from Bahrain.
All right. I will take your word for it, and we'll see.
All right.
Hopefully they have a good kit. It looks like they're sponsored by Puma. So that's kind of interesting.
I mean, they the last World Cup qualifying, I'm just looking back and seeing they finished third. They were in a group with Iran, Iraq, and themselves. And Iran finished with 18 points. Iraq finished with 17 points. Bahrain finished with 15 points. They had a plus 11 goal differential and did not advance. So I think they're definitely, for me, probably more so than any other team in Asia, like a team that's a bit under the radar that could really make some noise.
Okay. All right.
All right. Going down to Group I and the last and final group. So Australia, Palestine, Lebanon, Bangladesh. I think Australia is going to win this group.
Yeah.
the most likely outcome. Who else do you like out of this group to potentially advance with them?
I'm going to go with Lebanon.
I think that's a safe choice.
No further comment.
Yeah, I think that is a safe choice. Lebanon is okay. They're a team I'm not super big on them. I wouldn't say they're a favorite here for sure. I think we'll see how this group emerges. I don't really feel like Bangladesh is going to put up a whole lot of fight. So I think it's probably after Australia, one of Palestine, Lebanon. We'll see who can do it. But yeah, I'm not super high on either of these teams after Australia. I think after this group stage, whoever joins them is going to have a difficult time in the next round. So not a super strong feeling here on some of the other teams, kind of like how, you know, we're talking about an Uzbekistan or maybe a Jordan or Tajikistan. Don't really get the sense coming out of this group.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. I think it's pretty straightforward, actually.
Yeah. All right. Cool. All right. So that is Asia. Again, 36 teams playing, 18 will advance. It's going to be a quick second round. So we're going to be through two of the six match days after this window. So I'm looking forward to the follow-up, actually. The CAF discussion is going to be interesting, but definitely in Asia, coming out of this window with, you know, you're playing a third of the games immediately. So
yeah. Yeah.
I think we'll know a lot more. You might see some teams really assert themselves at the top, but with only six games, you know, that first match day is definitely the one to watch for me, with the second and third place teams playing each other. So can definitely see some movement there, and I'm looking forward to the games. I hope we get some good streams and are able to watch so that we can have a productive and fruitful follow-up conversation.
Amen.
All right. Before we sign off, anything else that you had in your notes that we wanted to get to that we have not yet?
Oh, let me take a looky. I don't think we mentioned that Rwanda hired a new coach as well, the German Torsten Spittler. That was kind of a missed thing back in our African section, but it's worth mentioning probably. No, I think that pretty much covers it, honestly. Yeah.
I mean, we've probably mentioned over 100 countries during the show, if not more. Yeah, between Asia and Africa, probably 90 right there. So we've probably talked about like 125 different countries on this show. So
that's right.
Yeah, I don't know that you can find that anywhere else. So thanks for staying with us and listening with us. It's been a fun November preview. A ton going on, of course. So just wanted to thank all of you for listening and staying with us as we go through these World Cup qualifiers and the conclusion of Euro qualifying. And yeah, looking forward to the November review show and seeing who qualifies and seeing who makes a move to advance in World Cup qualifying and so forth. So just wanted to thank everyone again for listening. Definitely give us a follow on our socials. Joe did not know all of these squads off the top of his head. However, he has spent countless hours digging up these squads, and make sure you follow the podcast Twitter account at @WindowINTLPod. All kinds of squad information and tracking during the games, and Joe does a phenomenal job with that. So please give the Twitter account a follow. You can find Joe as well individually on Twitter at 12th Yank. You can find me, Brandon, at @we_global. Lots of numbers and odds and projections. We really appreciate you joining us and listening to the show, and looking forward to following up with review for November. So thanks again for listening, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks, everyone.